daf is daf samach. We're in the last daf of the perek. So the Mishnah says on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, Ein ma'arvin peros b'peros. One cannot mix up different peros. What does that mean? Look at the last Rashi on the Amud here. Ein ma'arvin peros b'peros. Baal habayis sha'omer peros sa de ploni ani mor chalcha. The guy is selling it. I'm selling you the field from field A, let's say. So kach v'kach sa, and this is how much it's worth. Lo yaravenu b'perosh sadeh acharis. You can't sell it from field B. You can't mix it. You say you're doing from one field, so don't switch it on. You can't even mix them together. And then the Mishnah says, afilu chadashim b'chadashim. Even if they're both new fruits, brand new fruits, freshly picked, you still can't mix them together. Vein tzarech lomar, needless to say, chadashim b'yashanim, says Rashi in the top of Daf Samach. Vein tzarech lomar chadashim b'yashanim, psak pasak l'mchor lo yashanim. He says, he'll make a deal to sell you old fruit. Lo yar behen chadashim, you can't mix together new fruit, which one might think it's to his advantage getting new, fresher fruit. See, even that's an issue. Why? Sheyishanim yiveishim, because the old fruit are more dry. Ve'osin kemach yosim nechadashim, therefore could be used. It's talking about grain. You could generate more flour than using the new, fresh fruit, which are still moist. So he'd actually prefer the old fruit. Be'emes Amru, the Gemara says, or rather the Mishnah says, the truth is, Bein hetiru, bayayin hetiru la'ariv kasha berach. When it comes to wine, you are permitted to mix together some of the kasha, some of the hard wine, I'm not sure what that means exactly, in the soft wine. Bipnei shum mashbicha, because the wine kasha, which probably means a stronger type of wine, the more potent wine, is better, it's going to add more flavor to the weaker, the softer wine. So even though normally you can mix together, when it comes to this type of wine, you can only in the direction of the stronger, more potent wine can be mixed with the softer one. So then the Mishnah says, Ein marvin shimei yayin b'yayin. You cannot mix together the sediment of wine into other wine, aval nosin lo eshmar, but you can mix its own sediment. So the Gemara is going to explain, but it's referring to the wine, its own sediment you can mix together. But to take sediment from one type of wine, to mix it with another, that's the problem. Mishin is ari mayim b'yayin. A person who mixed together water in wine, loyim charenu b'chanas, he's not allowed to sell it in a store. Elim kein hodil, unless he lets the buyer know, I mixed some water and it's diluted. You say the percentage of it, that would be permitted. But lo l'tager afal pi shehodil, but you cannot sell it to a merchant who would then go ahead and sell it to somebody else. Even if you let the tager know, let him know that you mixed water, shein ela l'ramosba, because he's, the tager is only buying this diluted wine in order to sell it to some other guy and rip some other guy off claiming it's fully wine. He says it's 100% grape juice, but it's really mixed together with some water. That's usher to sell to a tager who's going to go ahead, flip it around, sell it to somebody else. And then Malkum Shinagu Lahatil Maim Biyayin Yatilu. In such a place where it was customary to put water in wine and to dilute it, then it's all permitted even to sell to the tagger, to the merchant, who's going to go ahead and turn around and flip it somewhere else. Now Hatagar Notel Mechamisha Granos Venosin Latoch Megurachas. A merchant's allowed to buy and take from five different fields and mix it all together. Everyone knows that he buys from different suppliers, so it's okay to mix them all together. And also, mechamisha gitos, you could also buy from five different wineries, v'nosin l'toch pitam, and place in one barrel, echad, u'bevad shlo yeh miskavin la'arv, as long as his intention isn't to mix and to trick anybody. Look at what Rashi says. Rashi says, shlo yiskavin la'arv, u'lehotzi kol liknos harov mimakom mishubach. So if it's a situation where everybody thinks he's buying it from one place, these nice, you know, wineries in France, let's say, mishubach, but he's using it to mix, to really put 20% from some other place in California, let's say. Everybody thinks it's French wine, so then that's going to be a problem. But if he's not trying to give that false impression, everybody knows he gets them from different places, he mixes it together, then that's permitted. It's only usher if he's giving the impression it's coming from one chashuv place, and then he's mixing it to save himself some costs. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells us now, Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Tzarech Lomar Chadashos Ma'arba V'yishanos Mishalosh, Dein Marvin. Needless to say, if you could buy four new amounts for four, which means they're cheaper, you could get, for $1, let's say, you could get four, I don't know, pieces of wheat. And the older ones are only get three, for a dollar you only get three of them, so meaning the older grain is more expensive because you only buy get three of them with $1. So needless to say, you certainly cannot be ma'ariv. You can't put new grains with the old wind because the new grains are cheaper. They're less amount of money. You're ripping off the guy. Ela filu chadashos mishalosh v'yishanosh mi'arba. Even if, let's say, the newer grain is more expensive, you can only buy three of those grains for $1, and the older ones are cheaper. You could get four of them with $1, meaning the older ones are cheaper. Still, even then, which you think you're adding in the newer ones, which are more expensive, it's going to be for the benefit of the lokeach, even that's aser. Why? Ein marvin, you're not allowed to mipnei she'adam rotel liyashin. A person wants them to be old. He prefers the old ones. He's not concerned with the cost so much, but he wants the old ones. Why is that? So Rashi explains, mipnei she'adam rotel liyashin. The price of the newer ones is not because they're better than the old ones. A person wants to hold on to them. They're going to last longer. If they're newer, they have a longer life, shelf life. But the guy who really wants the old ones, which have a shorter life shelf right now, he doesn't want to hold on to the fruit, the old grain, the new grain rather. He doesn't want to hold on to them because even though the new grains might be more expensive, he wants them to wait and use them when they're old. That's when they're greater when they're older, because then you can make more wheat out of it and more flour. So the guy doesn't want to wait to keep them on a shelf for another few weeks. He wants to use them right now. You go to the store and you want to buy a melon that's ready for today. You don't want one that's ready in 3 days from now. So for them to put, I've got a nice big watermelon. Watermelons are usually good right away, but I've got a nice cantaloupe. It will be ready in 3 days. I want to give my guests today for Shabbos to give them what to eat. So that situation, even though it seems that from the price-wise, it's better for me to get the newer ones, which are more expensive at the same lower price, I really rather the older ones. So you're not allowed to mix them together in all circumstances. So then the Gemara says, "Be'emes Amru," quoting the Mishnah, "Be'yain hitiru la'ariv kasher berach mibnei shehu mashbicha." When it comes to yain, you are allowed to mix together the stronger wine with the weaker wine. So Amr Rabbi Lazar Ada Amra. The word Ada, Rashi tells us, means lashon of zos. This zos ameris. This is what it tells us. Kol be'emes Amru. Whenever the Mishnah says kol be'emes Amru, we have this statement several places in Shas. Halachi. This is the psak halacha. Emes Amru. This is the emes. This is the halacha. So Amr of Nachman. Ubein Hagitos Shanu. It's referring to Bein Hagitos. What does that mean? So it says Rashi, the last eight narrow lines, Bein Hagitos Shanu Dimashbicha. In that situation where it's still going through the process in the winery, it's still in the barrels and trying to age. So then that's when it's Mashbiach, when you mix the wines together. Shetosisin Zem Zev Anasin Tam Echad, where it's starting to develop and ferment. So then the adding different wines will affect this taste. Aval, says Rashi, la'achar hagitos, after it's been removed from the barrels and then the aging process has been complete, shekfar kalat kalecha reichel, it's already completed its process of its smell, the tamo, and the taste is all complete. Ein mashbich el paguma, mixing two wines together doesn't taste good. It's only if you mix them while they're aging together and fermenting is when it's good. So dafka bein hagitos, can you mix these wines together? Now, v'ha'idna nowadays, dekam arve, shelo bein hagitos, nowadays, that we mix them together even when they're not bein hagitos, even after they've been already complete, the process has been complete. So then, Amar Papa diyade v'kamachle. Now we know, we're aware of this, so we're a mochel, so sometimes you have, I don't know how it works exactly, but sometimes certain wines have a mix of a Merlot and Cabernet together, mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's mixed together bein hagitos or after the fact, but since we are aware that they mix different wines together even after the gitos, that would be permitted as well, because the lokeach is mochel on this. So Rav Acha, Braid the Rav Ika Amar HaMani, who is the author of this? It must be Rabbi Achahi, Desani Rabbi Acha Matir Bidavar Hanitam. He permits something that's tasted, that's tasteable, that you could recognize as the drinker, says Rashi, the last three narrow lines. Bidavar Hanitam She'adam Toim Kodam Shalako V'yachol Lahavchin Shinis Arbo. He could have a wine test, he could test it out. So since he's able to have a very sophisticated palate, so if he could recognize his different wines mixed together, so then you are allowed to sell it, even though it's been mixed after bein hagitos, after already fermented. So then the Gemara says, Ein marvin shimr yain b'yain v'anosin la shimrav. So you can't mix together the sediment with wine, but you can mix the sediment with wine. That was a stira. Either you can or you can't. So the Gemara says, Ha'amris reisha ein marvin b'klal. The Mishnah said in the beginning, you cannot mix together the shimr yain with the wine. And then it says, you can't. If you're going to say my nosin la shmarv, what does that mean? You place its sediment. The kamodila, that you let the guy know that, by the way, there's not pure wine. There's some sediment that's mixed in here. Well, that can't be because ham dekatani from the fact the brisa of the sefer says lo yimcherenu bechanas elam kein modio. You could only sell it to the guy if you let him know. Velo lataga, you can never sell to a merchant. Afal pisha miadia, even though you let him know. Michlal dereisha afal gavdula modiola. The fact that the Seifa starts distinguishing about Hodir or Lohodir implies that the Reisha is a case where you didn't let him know at all. So if you didn't let him know at all, so what's the difference? When can you and when can you not mix together the sediment? So Amar of Yehuda Hachikamar. Ein ma'arvin shmarim shel amash b'shel yom. You can't mix yesterday's sediment with today's. Lo shel yom b'shel amash, and you can't mix today's with yesterday's. Aval, what you can do is nosin lo eshmar, but its own sediment of today, today's wine press, that you can mix together because it all comes from the same day. They do mix together nicely, but yesterday's and today, it each has a different taste, a different smell, then you cannot mix them together. And Tanin Amihach, the Braisa says the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hashofa Yain Lechaver, a person who what, pours?
Slowly pours.
Slowly pours, okay. Slowly pours wine for his friend. Hareza Liyarev, Shamash B'Shayom, Shayom, Shamash, you shouldn't mix together today's and yesterday's wine and sediment together. So then the Gemara says, but you can mix together yesterday's with yesterday's and today's with today's. So next Gemara tells us, Mishin Nisari Mayim B'Yeino Harezo Lim Charena B'Chanos Elam Kin Modio. A person wants to mix together water with wine, he cannot sell to a store unless he lets them know. So Rava Aisi Lachamra Michanusa Mazga. So he brought to he brought some wine from a store, Mazga, and he poured some water on it. He diluted it for himself personally. And Tama, he tasted it, and Lohava Basis, it wasn't so strong, wasn't so potent. He put too much water in. So Shadre Lechanusa, he sent it back to the store. He sold it back to the store. So Amalei, bye, he says, Vaha Anantanan Lo Lutager, Afalpisho Dio, but you're selling back to the store. Apparently, it was a Tager, a merchant who's going to go ahead, flip it around, and sell to somebody else. So our Mishnah says, you cannot sell diluted wine to another guy, even if you let him know you can't. So Amalei, he says, Mazga Didi Miyada Yada, my dilution, everybody knows. You can't buy it without knowing how diluted it is. It looks pink as opposed to red, so it's clear that it was diluted. So there's no tricking any purchasers. So no, it was clearly diluted. So maybe what he's going to do is that maybe he could. Where's Rashi here? Rashi said, "V'chi teima ma'isi chamra." Did I miss a line here? I think Rashi is a different gear here, but let's look at Rashi. So maybe what he's going to do is maybe the owner, the chana, the chenvani, is going to pour more wine in now to make it redder again. He's going to trick the lokeach. There's some water in it now because you can't see it. Now it's pink because Abai sent it to him when it was pink. Everybody knows pink is diluted. But once you pour more wine in, which the chenvani might do, now it's going to be red and it's going to trick the lokeach. So the Gemara says, "Imkain ein ledavarsof." Then it's endless. What does that mean? Says Rashi, "Ein ledavarsof." Shaf ha'mayim levadam aser. So then you can't even sell water alone. Why? Because limchor lechenvani shema yarvim b'yayin. Because now if you give him water, he might use that water and pour wine in it. And now that's a concern. You set him up for failure. You set him up for this. V'lo chashu el bezman shani mochelo davar asui. The Ramos bo kemoshu achshav. The only answer is for me to sell something that in its current state is possible to trick somebody else. So pure water is permitted. Pure wine is permitted. Diluted wine, where it's so pink, where the lokeach will know it was diluted, is permitted also. The only answer is wine that's been diluted that looks still very red, and the lokeach won't necessarily know that there's water in it. That's the only answer. Now, what the chenvani will do afterwards, that's up to him. But for me, as a you know, as a fair seller, I can only sell things that are obvious at the current state. Then the last gemara before the new mishnah says, "Makom shenagu lehatil mayim b'yayin yatilu." Tana lemechza leshlish levia. So they're different amounts depending where you are. Some places would do a third, a half, a fourth. So Amar Rav Ubein Hagito Shanu. This whole discussion of diluting the wine is referring to in the fermenting process while it's still Bein Hagitas. Okay, a very technical daf here. Mishnah now tells us a very important thing about marketing here. The Mishnah tells us now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yichalek chenvani klayos vegozim latinokos bimpnei shu margilan lavo etzla. Very interesting thing. You can't give out candies and nuts and toys and games to kids because now they're going to come back next time, not because of because they want the food and buy things, but because you're trying to entice them to come. The truth is, we had in yeshiva, so our kids got all these. They were involved in the raffle. And you get these prizes depending on how much money you raise. My kids did a good job raising money. They came home with all these prizes yesterday, and they all broke within 15 minutes of using it. It's not fair to these kids. They entice them to buy all these nice things, and at the end of the day, they're not worth it. You trick the kids. I'm very upset. I don't know what to do, so I call yeshiva about this thing. The kids were so excited. They're waiting a week to get it. It wasn't ready Monday. Then Tuesday wasn't ready. Friday, then they get it back, and it broke within 15 minutes. So that's like tricking the kids, the little kids, into getting money. It's all tzedakah, so it's a different point here. But the idea from this mission is that you're tricking the kids to come because they want the good toys and the candies and stuff. Okay, that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. However, Chachamim are matir, and the Chachamim permit. You have something to say on that? Chacham matir.
I'm thinking Siach would do that.
Yeah, it is.
I'm thinking Siach would do that.
Siach would do
that. Sounds like a dark.
it was terrible.
We did, unfortunately.
The kids were so disappointed. Anyway, so...
You go and get American-made tchotchkes.
That's why they don't have a building.
You're too honest. They're too honest.
Old enough kids.
Exactly.
Fine.
Anyways, Chacham and Martim, Chacham permit you to do this, to give out the candies. Okay, it's part of competition. You'll have to have competition. This is part of including a permissible competition. But you shouldn't make the next line is the Tanakama holds, Rabbi Huda holds. You cannot make the prices so low. It's not fair. It's unfair competition. So some guy has a lot of money, so he's able to, you know, knock out the Costco, could lower the prices because they can handle. They're huge. But it's fair at all to the local places. It's not fair to them. However, Chachamim Omrim, Zachulatov, it's great, a wonderful thing, because if Costco lower the prices, that means all the other local stores to keep up will also have to lower the prices. It's good for the buyer. So this seems the buying market, a selling market, it depends on their perspective. So it seems like the Chachamim are in favor of the buyers to get, but Rabbi Yehuda seems to support the Mochrim, that they also need to make some margins as well. So then the Mishnah says, Lo yivor es agrisim divrei abishol. You cannot move the grisim, what, the grits or something, right?
Grivenis.
The English says the refuse, the stuff that's just
bad stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, you shouldn't divrei abishol because you're giving an impression, I guess, of it looking better than it really is. And Rashi explains lo yivor as a psoles lefisha mitoch sheniras yafot. It looks very nice. Hu mal al demem. You're able to raise the prices harbe midmei psoles shenat demem. So don't sell it as it is, and don't add any food coloring to it, or the apples. I think they shine the apples with some type of wax to make it look very shiny and exciting, so they can raise the prices. Don't play any games like that. Just sell the object, sell it as is. However, again, Chacham Matir and Chachamim permitted in this situation to do this. Now, this case seems to be in favor of the Mocher, because the Mocher could sell it at a higher price, and you can play the games. Now, Modim, they're both in agreement. But what you can't do is don't clean the top that's visible, but below that top, everything is garbage. If you're going to clean it out nicely, clean the whole, whatever you're selling, clean everything out, but don't clean just the top where it gives you a false impression that everything else in there is going to look nice as well. That's called Genevis Ayin, Genevis Das. Ein Mefarchasin, Los Adam, Los Behemo, Los Akelim. Mefarchasin Rashi says, the Gemara will explain. In other words, when you're trying to sell an object, sell a person, don't make them look nice and fancy, selling an Evakanani, let's say, and give a false impression, which really isn't. Okay, so this is a very important halacha mishnah about how to do marketing properly. So the Gemara says, my time, my Yudhi Rabbanan. What's the reason the Rabbanan says that you're allowed to give out candies and toys to the kids? So the Amr Lehu Lei, they say, Ana, Gudunta, Ana, mi paligna, amguze, vat, palig shiska. I'm going to give out these types of nuts, and you can give out different types of nuts. What do you mean? I'm not doing anything that you can't do. I'm not taking advantage of you. You could do the same thing. Go collect your walnuts from your trees, and you could give them out as well. It's not an unfair advantage here. You have the same ability to do this. Okay? So then the Mishnah Gemara says, Yifchos is a shar. You don't lower the price so much that even though you can handle it, other store owners won't be able to handle this. But Chachamim Omrim, Zach Latov, it's very praiseworthy to do this. My Tamayot Dirabban. Why did their Rabban allow store owners to lower the price so much? Mishum de kamarvich litara. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Mishum de marvich tara. The old straight peros, the wholesalers who are holding on to the peros in the storage houses, yiru shehuzlu v'yimchur bezul. They're going to see that prices went down in the market, so they're going to sell their produce at a cheaper price. So it's much better for everybody who's going to gain from this. By me lowering my prices, and there's going to be greater demand, so then they're going to realize out in the fields that, oh, the prices are so low now, so everybody who's going to buy from the farmer, from the distributors, are going to get lower prices as well, and everybody's going to benefit from this. Okay, there's a discussion that's on the back here. Shiloh, let's say, one store owner pays a high rent on Central Avenue for a storefront, and selling clothing, and someone's selling the same clothing out of the basement, but is not paying any rent, and not paying any taxes. So is that allowed? Because he's able to sell it a much part. He get a greater margin at a much cheaper price, and everyone's going to come to him. The poor guy who's doing the right thing on the storefront, is that considered an issue of changing the market price or not? It's a discussion he has back here. The Chida and others talk about such a situation here. Okay, fine. The Gemara says further, Lo yivor es agrisin divrei abishol, v'chacham matirin, are you allowed to remove the psolus and sell it? So one would think you'd be allowed to. So man chachamim, who are the chachamim who says you are allowed to remove all the psolas and sell it as a nice clean item, and you could raise the price because of that. Like, you know, buying a checked lettuce and things like that, or cut fruit. It's the same thing I could do at home, but they're doing the service for you, so you're just paying a higher price for that. Is that permitted? And chachamim say you're allowed to. So who are the chachamim? Rabbi Acha d'Tanya, Rabbi Acha matir b'daver hanir. They permit something that is noticeable, something that's visible, is permitted. Rashi says matir b'daver hanir. Hello, Yachal Lokeach Liros. The Lokeach could see. He's buying cut melon. He's seeing things that are cleaner. It's a cleaner. There's no bugs. Ulahavin mad mei psolas hanivra meilush yeshem b'acherim. He could see the difference. Look, the reason why this price is higher is because it's clearly better product than that one, which isn't clean. The tov lo lahalos b'demeim shel elu yesel kein mipnei terech. The effort, the service that they put in to cut the fruit and to clean it is worth the price as long as it's noticeable. Okay. Now, ein mefarchesin lo es ha'adam v'lo es ha'kelim. So, Tanu Rabbanan, ein misharvitin es ha'behema, it was misharvitin, says Rashi, lashon sharvit. Kun mefarish l'kamei, shezokif se'ar ha'behema, ha'kisharvit shetira shemena. You want it to stick out, you puff up the wool, you puff up the cow's hair to make it look like a fatter cow than it really is. That says you're not allowed to. That's giving a false impression. You also cannot blow up their insides to make them look fatter as well. I don't know how you would do this exactly, stuff them with food or, I don't know, blow air into their stomach, but you can't make them look fatter than they really are. You cannot buy meat to sell meat, rather soak it in water so it looks very thick and sell that way. Again, these are all giving false impressions. So what does it mean? My ein misharvitin, we read it on Rashi. Hacha targime, this is what they explain. Maya dechizra. My dechizra ziri. So says Rashi. So Rashi, I think. No, my dechizra, I guess. My dechizra. Rashi says mashkin also may soven. You give some type of soap. V'hem nofchin mea v'shara nizkaf. They give him soap, the shampoo. You make a drink it, and all the bubbles makes his stomach blow up, and the hair start to stick up. Some interesting process, and that would be usher to do. Then the Gemara says ziri amar Rav Kahana mizakvasa. Zakvasa means Rashi's kirtif. I think what it means is that you would comb the hair in such a way where it looks thicker and puffier. That would be aser. And Shmuel shara lemirma tumei lesarbala. He would permit a person to comb the hair, to brush the hair in such a way with soap to make it look nice and clean. Rashi says liyafaso osin lo tilei muchute meshi saviv. I don't know exactly what the process is here.
It's attaching silk fringes to the coat.
The coat of the sheep or the cow or something.
Now we forget about the, we're not the animals anymore.
Just a regular piece of clothing. You can make it look fancy on the end, even though, okay. Fine. Rav Yehuda Shari lichaschuche karme. He permitted a person to wash in such a way where it looks very nice and clean. You could do that. Rabba Shari lemedak tsrade. He permitted a person, Rashi says, lahadik bigde canvas b'mikvos eitz shiria chutan da. You could what? I guess kind of comb it in such a way.
Beat it.
Okay, it makes it look nice as well. And Rava Shari Litsume Gire, he permitted a person to what does that line mean?
To paint arrows.
Okay, fine. These are all wonderful things to make the items, nice. The merchandise look nicer. Okay, then comes Rav Papa. Did that one already? Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Shari Litsume Dikula, to make images of I guess date trees, baskets maybe. Okay, fancy things. Okay, you buy a piece of a piece of furniture, and you put some fancy designs on it. So even though it's not really part of the wood, the wood's of whatever type of material, but it looks fancy because a nice painting, a nice finish, all of that is permitted. So then the Mishnah says, how could this be permitted? Doesn't our Mishnah tell us, ein mefarchisin in losa adam losa behemo losa kalim? You can't do this to anything. You can't make things look nicer than they really are. So lokasha. Depends if it's new versus if it's old. If it's new, so it's brand new wood or whatever you're selling, then mutter. So it's only to make it look nicer, Rashi says. You're just trying to add some extra price by an extra painting here, you're adding some price to it. But batik, it's awesome because now you're giving an impression. You're painting up, it's a bad wood. The wood is rotting, but you paint it white so you can't see the rotting wood. But in a few months from now, it's going to start falling apart. That would be awesome. But if it's a brand new wood that's strong, you're just making it look nice, you could certainly add, you could paint something and sell it as a painted piece of furniture. So then, Pirchas de Adamayis. What's an example where a person who makes an Adam, Pirchas, makes it look nice and special and fancy? So Mahi, what's the example? So Kihad Ahu Abda Saba, there's once an elderly Eved, the Azal Tzavai Lareshiv Ludikna. He had white hair and a white beard, and he colored it. He dyed it black. Also the Kami, the Rabbi went in front of Rava, Amar Lei Zivnin. So he says, buy me. I'm, look, I'm a 35-year-old man. Well, not all, some 35-year-olds really have black hair. Not all of them have white hair like me. But I'm a 35-year-old Eved. I'm strong. I could work for you. Please buy me. So Amar Lei, so Rava says to him, Yehu Aniyim B'nei Beischa. The Mishnah Avos tells us, no, I'd rather have a Jewish Ani working in my house and I could support him than have an Eved Kanani, a non-Jew in my house. So he moved on to another Amora. So Asla Kami Dira Papa, Bar Shmuel, Zavne, buy me. Yom Achada, buy me for one day. Let me work for you one day. So Amalei Ashken Maya. So he said, okay, bring me a drink of water. So Azil, he went to drink of water, brought water, and the water spilled on him, it seems. And Azil, Chavre L'Reisha L'Dikne. Now his white in his beard, the white in the hair, appeared. And Amalei Chazid Ana Kashish Miavuch, see that I'm actually older from your father, he says. Kari Nafshi, he was exposed. He wasn't such strong, I guess, hair dye. And he called himself Tzadik Matzah Nechlatz V'Yavo Acher. Tachtav. I guess the tzaddik will be saved from any tzaros from this particular eved, and someone else will come to replace him. Hajnalach hazav. So you can't give again. You can't pretend you're one thing, and if you're really not, you can't dye your hair. Which is interesting here, and he's an eved kanani, so he doesn't have to keep any. He's a goy at the time. But for a Jew to do this, it would be usher. There'd be two reasons for a Jew to color the hair. One is giving a false impression. Number two is his beged isha, for a man to color his white hair as any other color.
Marketing today is like 90% fake.
Yes, yeah, so you have to figure out what exactly is within parameters. I mean, Chachamim were very makel here. They permitted a number of different situations, but you have to figure out what's considered Gnevas Das and what's not Gnevas Das. I think that brochure that they sent out with the raffles was Gnevas Das, Lani Es Daiti. Okay. Okay, fine. Let's go weiter. Says the, now we're beginning the new parak. This does not get any easier. Okay. We'll take this slow. Let's begin. Ezu Neshech. Mission begins. Ezu Neshech Vezu Tarbis. So the Pasuk uses two different terms in the Pesukim here. It says, Es Kaspecha lo Tzitein lo B'Neshech, Uve Marbis lo Tzitein Achlecha. It calls Neshech and Marbis. So what's the difference between Neshech and Marbis? Tarbis. Neshech means to bite in a Shecha, and Tarbis means to increase. So Ezu Neshech. Samal Vesela B'Chamesh Dinar. So if you sell a Sela, which is normally 4 Dinar, you lend a sella amount of 4 dinarim in return for 5 dinarim. So that's interest. That's very clear interest. Loaning for on interest. So sayim chitim b'shalosh, you're lending out 2 amounts of chita in return for shalosh. That's also, that's straight ha-ribis b'pnei shu noshech. You're biding more than you took, than he took. You gave him one thing, and now you're biding away from him more than he actually borrowed from you. That's an example of neshech. Now, ezeu tarbis, what's an example of tarbis? So now this is where it gets complicated already. Tarbis is as follows. Now, the tarbis we're about to see is only a ribis midirabanan example. This is an example that's only ribis on a dirabanan level. We'll see there are many levels of ribis. What is that? Hamar bebeperes ketzat. So tarbis, when the Mishnah used the word tarbis, it means increasing the amounts of fruit. So what does that mean, ketzat? Laka chaymanu, you buy from the guy chitim. I buy some wheat, bedinar zahav, for the amount of dinar zahav, hakor. Per every volume of kor, I pay 1 dinar zav. V'chein ashar, that was the market value when we made our deal on January 1st. That's what a kor of tvua went for. A kor of chita was worth a dinar zav. So that rest of the year, I could pay you, even though the price goes up the rest of the year, that was the initial amount I could buy tvua. Every kor I buy for the rest of the year is for amount of a dinar zav, which equals 25 silver shlam. 1 gold coin is 25 silver coins. Amdu chitim, now over the course of the year, Amdu chitim b'shlosha dinar. Now the price goes up, and now it's really 1 kor. You have to pay 30 silver coins per chita. So Amar lo, he says, Tainli chitai, Shani wrote to Lamochon, give me my wheat, because I want to sell these wheat now, because now the wheat's more expensive. So now he's going to make a profit. So I want to buy my chita, the 25 we set in the beginning, and now I want to flip it to sell for 30. Now that's all permitted. So even though right now on March 1st the price is 30, since we made the deal initially, it's like I used to have oil heat. So oil, at the beginning of the year, you could set a price if you want, what you're going to pay, and whether it goes up or down, that's the amount you pay for the rest of the year per gallon, what it was at that January 1st, let's say. So that amount I could still buy, even though the market value is different. So that's permitted. So now I want to buy my wheat now at 25. I want to sell it now for 30 to some other guy, the current market value, and use that 30 to buy some wine. That was what he wanted to say, and that's all permitted. So Amar lo, the guy says, I'll tell you what, let's make a different deal. Let's forget, let's skip a step here. I owe you wheat. So in essence, you don't want the wheat, you really want the 30 coins. I owe you 30 coins right now, okay? So instead of you selling to the other guy, well, as if you're selling to me the wheat, so I give you the wheat, pretend you give the wheat back to me, I owe you 30 coins now for that new wheat, the current market value. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give you the 30 coins. I have wine now. So I'll tell you what, I'll give you the wine in turn. So instead of me giving you 30 coins, you ultimately want wine. So I'll just give you wine now at the amount of 30 coins worth of wine, and I'll give that to you. That's what he suggests to do. The yain ainel, but right now he doesn't have any wine, so this is what's called ribis midrabanan. Because he's borrowing now, I'm the one selling the chita, I'm selling you the wine, I owe you 30 coins right now. That's the deal. I really owe you a chita, but I said I'll hold on to the chita, I'll owe you 30 coins instead. Now I'm borrowing that money from you. Now since I'm not actually giving the money back to you, I'm returning wine instead. So now look at what Rashi says here. Look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Mishnah here. It says, Amar lo, tein li chitai. Says Rashi, v'zumu teresi im nasin lo chitim. If he were to give me the wheat, we said that's fine. Aval pasuk hayayin, sheposuk lo, lasesh behem aser. But to give him wine in place of the wheat that he really owes him, that's aser. V'hol v'ein lo, since right now he has no wine. Had he had wine at the time, you could transfer all that without having to go the steps. I'll give you wine instead of the wheat. But since right now he has no wine, there's a chashash, shema yoker yain. Now the wine's going to go up. So now the wine might go up to 35 coins. V'yafa pisha posigimo kishahar yain. Since he made a deal, let's give you the wine right now according to the current market value of 30 per barrel, let's say. Shilachshav v'kar yatashar. Still, since right now he doesn't have the wine, he owes money. I owe wine to you. Now I owe you a certain amount of wine. But when I, let's say, return money to you, the wine to you, when I get it in a few weeks, that wine might be more money, so I'm returning to you more valuable wine than what I really borrowed from you. And that's this very, again, confusing deal of ribis midirban. It's all shema, exactly, the shema. If, let's say, the wine doesn't go up, it seems like that this, in the end, there's not an issa deraisin anyway, it's only an issa midirbanan. So because of the chashash, they asked one to make such a deal like this. Okay. I don't know if these are any like real life examples that could compare to this. It could be buying stocks could be a similar idea. I don't know enough about them, but this is the example of what?
Futures.
But with switching different types of commodities and stuff. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know enough about this. Okay. So let's begin the Gemara now. The Gemara says, "Midashavik l'ribis derais of a kumefarish derabanan." So the Mishnah wanted to explain what neshech was, which was very straightforward, a regular loan on interest. And then wanted to explain ribis. Now the Mishnah went on to give an example of ribis as a whole ribis derabanan. It didn't explain what ribis was on a deraisa level. So mechlal, it seems to indicate then, deraisa on a deraisa level, the neshech v'tarbis chadamilsi, must be one of the same thing. Neshech and ribis, the same case of loaning on interest, that's a violation of ribis v'neshech. V'ha krai, so the Gemara says, how could that be? V'ha krai, ksivi, neshech kasev ribis ochla. So the Gemara says, how could that be? There are two different psukim. There's a neshech and then there's ribis. How could you say that there's two lavim on one issa? There's two different lavim in the mid. There should be two different examples of neshech and one of ribis. V'tizvara, di'ika neshech below ribis, v'tarbis below neshech. It must be that there's one without the other. So let's understand this case. Where is there neshech without ribis and where is there ribis without neshech? Hechidami. So e de'ozve mea b'mei v'esrim. If you sell 100 for 100, rather you loan 100 for 120, may kara kaimim mea bedanka, uvasov kaima mea vesim bedanka. Now, what 100 prutos are worth, I could get the danka. A danka was a sella, or mea, they call it mea, some larger coin.
They don't.
Okay. So, fine. So the buying power of 100 coins initially, I could buy me, let's call it a cent. So 100 pennies could buy $1 initially. But now later on, the value of the penny drops, so 120 pennies I need to buy $1. So now, what's the situation here? So the Gemara says, I lost place, 1 second here. Neshech ika, there is neshech, deka nachisle, deka shaka minei midei delo. Yav, there is neshech because you're taking more than you gave. You gave 100 coins, you're getting 120 pennies back. That would be neshech. the tarbis leka, but there is no tarbis because the lesle ravcha, the danka osva, danka kashakil. But from the perspective of the value that you're gaining, I'm gaining nothing because 100 pennies now is a dollar, but 120 pennies in 3 weeks is also worth a dollar. So in the end, I'm not really gaining any value, even though the amount of coins is different. So neshech is, according to the Gemara, neshech is the amount of coins, but ribis is the value you're getting, the buying power. So from the perspective of ribis, there's no value of ribis because it's the same value here and then. So the Gemara says, so for the end of the day, e baser mekara azli. If you're going based on the beginning, which is the coins, 100 coins for 120 coins, that's the amount of coins, then hari neshech, hari ribis, tarbis. The Gemara says, no, it's going to be neshech and ribis regardless. If it's going based on the mikar, based on how many coins were lent and returned. E baser basof, azli, if you're going based on the end, which means based on the buying power, then lo neshech ikav, lo tarbis ikav. There's no ribis, there's no neshech, because in the end of the day, the buying power is the same. I can buy the same objects with the 100 coins now as I can in a few weeks with 120 coins. So based on the sof, it's neither isn't there's no iser. Fine. So therefore, we cannot find the situation where there's neshech without ribis. Let's try the other way. Maybe we can find the case of a su, tarbis below neshech hechidami, where it's a case where there's ribis, but there's no neshech. So this is the inverse case. E de ozif mea bimea, if you're borrowing 100 for 100, pennies for pennies, so meikara kaima mea bedanka. So initially, 100 pennies are worth $1. Ulvasof, in the end, mea b'chumshin. In the end, I need 120, 100 plus a fifth, 120 coins, for to buy one danka. So what's going on here? So I buy, but I loan, it's 100 coins for 100 coins. So initially my coins, 100 coins were worth a dollar. Now my 100 coins are only worth 80 cents or so. So now what's the situation here? So e basa mikar, if you're going based on the beginning, which is the amount of coins, 100 for 100 coins. So lo nashichika, lo tarbizika, there's no iser. I borrowed 100 coins, I returned 100 coins, there's no iser, no neither one. Ibasar sofaz, if I'm going based on the end, which is the buying power of how much, how valuable these coins are, well then, since I can no longer buy a donkey anymore, hari neshech, hari tarbis, there's an iser, both neshech and ribis, in the end. So Ella, so Amar Rava, Rava therefore concludes, iatamoti lo neshech below tarbis, below tarbis below neshech. You cannot find the case one without the other. Velo chilkna kasev, so why then did the psukim describe, distinguish between ribis and neshech? To say that they're two Yisurim. Every time a person borrows and lends with ribis, there's going to be two Yisurim, one of Neshech and one of ribis. And that's all on a Deraisa level.